Columbia Workshop presents Cassidy and the Devil with Walter Kinsella as Cassidy. Tonight's workshop drama, a story based on an Irish legend, is by Basil Heater, a young writer represented for the first time on this series. The production is directed by Guy Della Chapa. Cassidy and the Devil by Basil Heater. A bitterly cold midwinter night. New York streets are deserted and ghostly. In a dimly lit alley, huddled at the foot of a gigantic bridge that rears its steel cables into the darkness, is a comforting little square of yellow light shining from the doorway of Mike O'Ryan's Bar and Cafe. Mike's regular customers are grouped cozily along the bar.
Yes, sir.
Ah, what a story you tell, Michael.
But it's true. Even if he is a city fellow from Dublin and better acquainted with the chimney pots than with all the hills and lakes and rolling meadows of Killarney. Anyhow, to make the story short. Here, shut that door there, mister. Sure, it's enough to freeze the blood in our veins holding the door open on a night like this.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. It was the cold wind itself that whipped it out of my fingers.
Aye.
Ah, but it's a nice place you have here. So warm and friendly. I wonder, was there ever a prettier sight? A cozy bar, the lovely bottle shining in rose, and a group of friendly fellas gathered round.
Well, what'll it be, mister?
Well, now, I think a nip with the regular would be the best thing for warming the blood on a night like this. How much is it?
It'll be 25 cents.
25 cents. Have you none a little less expensive?
I have not. There's only the good wholesome Irish served here. None of your cheap 15-cent brews.
Senses myself will have to go cold. For faith, I've not a penny in my pockets. I don't suppose, seeing as how it's such a bitter cold night, you could see your way clear to letting me have one on account.
I could not.
You couldn't.
I've never set eyes on you before. Why should I do any such thing?
To be truthful with you, there's no reason at all. But I tell you what I'll do. Set me up for one, and I'll tell you the most marvelous, the strangest and creepiest story that ever your ears have heard. Would you do that, man, now, dear? Sure, and it's like nothing you've ever listened to before.
It's not your stories I'll accept, but your cash. If you've not got that, then out with you. Come on now, out!
Easy does it there now, Michael. Maybe the fella has a story worth hearing. Anyhow, it's worth 25 cents of my money to find out. And you, stranger, down your grog and talk away, and make it good.
Thank you, sir, thank you. You're a gentleman that does all Ireland proud.
There you are.
That's better. Well, now, to start with, this story begins a long, long time ago back in the old country. And it's all about a fella named Patrick Cassidy, which is none other than myself. I was a lazy, loud-mouthed rascal, a blacksmith by trade, and I had a little house, and I had a little wife, and we had our little quarrel.
You brute! You beast!
Here now, steady on. There won't be a plate left to eat off.
You're a villain! You're a ruffian!
So it's all you want, is it? Very well, two can play at that game of pretty...
Ah, you white-beater! You scoundrel!
So you've had enough, eh? You run into the bedroom and lock the door. Very well, my pretty, my little dove, my sweet, affectionate little wife. Whist! There's someone at the front door. Who could that be now? Oh, there. Who is it?
It is a lonely traveler seeking shelter.
Oh, by my blood, you've come to the right place. Here's shelter of plenty and company of the best. Ho-ho-ho-ho. Step in now. Come in. Let's have a look at you.
I would not bother you this way, but I'm weary from much traveling.
Ah, sure, man, dear. Sit down and rest your feet. There's one beggar to another, I would offer you the hospitality of the house. But the cupboard's as bare as Ball Crowley's head.
Have you nothing at all, then? As you can see, I'm a feeble old man and faint from hunger.
Aye, a skinny old thing you are. Well, maybe there's a bit of bacon the rats left behind. Ah, there we are. A rind of mouldy old bacon and a crust of dry bread. It's the best the house affords. Well, if it's not to your liking, speak up and I'll have it myself.
Oh, no. Give it here. I'll eat it. So this would have been your supper, eh?
Yeah, it would that. As a matter of fact, the old lady and myself were just having a bit of a discussion over it. A friendly little argument, you might say. Tell me, do you think it's decent for a husband and wife to be after having these little tiffs like?
Indeed, I do not. But it's a privilege few married couples would deny themselves. Ah, there now. It's much better I'm feeling after the bit of supper. And I'll show you I'm not ungrateful.
Well, not ungrateful indeed. But what can an old beggar be doing for the likes of me?
Patrick Cassidy!
Who's that? Who called me by name?
I called you Patrick Cassidy. Look at me now and pay attention to what I say.
This is you, old man. Surely it is a great change in your voice. It is the grand and mighty sound to be coming from such a skinny little body. Wish no. But even that's changing. All of a sudden you appear to be 9 feet tall, and surely there's a wonderful bright light all around you.
Patrick Cassidy, do you not know me?
Indeed, your worship, and I do not. But if it's a little crust of bread and a bit of bacon has made such a difference in you, why then I'm wondering what a full meal would do.
Patrick Cassidy, shut your mouth and listen to me. Know then, little man, I am no ordinary mortal. There stands before you none other than St. Patrick himself.
Oh, my goodness. Sure, and is it really you, your worship?
It is indeed.
And have you come back to chase the snakes out of Ireland again, your lordship?
Be quiet now and listen to me. Long ago, I made a vow that someday I would return to Ireland in the shape of a poor old man. And the first person I met who was kind to me, I would reward with any 3 wishes he desired.
3 wishes?
In truth, Patrick Cassidy, it is a strange thing that you should be that person. For everyone knows what a villainous-hearted rascal you are. But when you gave me your supper, you earned the reward. So speak up now for your 3 wishes, and be quick about it, for I've no time to waste.
3 wishes? Well, no, Your Honor, could you not make it 4? After all, it was a good bit of bacon and...
3 wishes, I said. Hurry now, be quick about it, or you'll have none at all.
All right, Your Lordship, 3 wishes. Your Worship, there's the big sledgehammer in my blacksmith shop. I wish you to put a charm on it, so that if anyone picks it up and begins to hammer, they may not put it down again until I give them leave.
Granted.
Granted. Then there's the old rocking chair here. I wish you to lay a charm on it, so that if anyone sits down and begins to rock, they may not get up again until I give them leave.
Granted.
And now for number 3, Your Lordship. Let me see. We come to my old purse. I wish for you to put a charm on my purse, so that if anything gets into it, it may not come out again until I give it leave. And that'll be...
Granted.
But, Your Honor, I was just about to get around to what goes into the purse. Could you not spare me a few £1,000 for a...
Indeed, I could not.
No, you could not.
You've had your 3 wishes, and now you must abide with them. Goodbye, Patrick Cassidy. Goodbye, Patrick Cassidy.
Sure, and he's faded away before my very eyes, and me without a penny more than I had when he came. Ah, but anyway, I've got me 3 wishes, and I'm thinking someday maybe they'll come in handy. Ha, 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 ha. And so, gentlemen, that's how it was. I had a visit from the great St. Patrick himself, and he'd give me any 3 wishes. But there wasn't a bit of good I'd be getting out of them so far as I could see. After that, things went from bad to worse. The cupboard got to the point where even the mice was moving out. As me wife, Kate, well, she, good woman that she was, couldn't put up with the sight of me any longer. One fine day, I drove her to such exasperation that she shouted out,
"Oh, the devil take you, Patrick Cassidy! The devil take you!"
"I'll be delighted to, ma'am."
"Well, who may you be?"
"Your wife mentioned me just now."
"Sure, I did not."
"Oh, a friend of my wife, is it? Well, you know, a friend of mine. Out with you."
"Now then, Mr. Cassidy, let's not quibble. How would you like to take a little journey with me? I have in mind a bit of traveling I think would suit you fine."
"I'll go on no journey with the likes of you until I know your business. Come on, speak up, no man. How did you get in here so sudden? What is your name?"
Nicholas Brimstone."
"Nicholas Brimstone? Oh, Pat,
Is it the old Nick himself?"
"At your service, sir."
"Well, the devil take me."
"That's just what I intend doing, Mr. Cassidy."
"Oh, sure, and I thought there was a bit of a funny smell about you. No offense, meant you understand, but if you do give the effect of a package of matches left out in the rain."
"Yes, you're quite right, Mr. Cassidy. There's an uncommonly large amount of sulfur where I come from, and it does provide rather an unpleasant odor. It's an unfortunate social handicap which I've never been able to overcome."
"I thought as much."
But I fancy that after we've spent some time together, You'll soon become accustomed to it.
Well, be that as it may, I'll just get to the windward of you for the time being. There. That's better. So, Nicholas, you want me to go away with you, you say?
At your wife's suggestion, sir. Of course.
Now, look here, Mr. Brimstone. I didn't
mean... Don't be interfering, Katie. This is interesting. Now, tell me, Nick. Have you those plain and fancy entertainments for your guests to hear so much about? The burning pitch, the red-hot pokers, the boiling oil?
Oh, yes. We still have the old standbys. But there are also some new improvements I am very anxious to have you see.
Come, come, come now, Nick. Come, go on, come on. You may take me for a blackguard, but never for a fool. Why should I go along with you now? You and the Cassidys are the longest-living family in all Ireland.
Frankly, Mr. Cassidy, I just can't wait until you die. Your conduct is the scandal of the whole country, and all the members of my little fraternity are looking forward with great eagerness to the pleasure of having you among us.
Oh, they are.
Yes, indeed. Why, we've even gone to the expense of installing a new heating system for your special benefit.
Very well, then, Nick. Since you desire the pleasure of my company so much, you must pay for it.
Oh, Mr. Cassidy, you speak in the tone of a businessman. But what is your proposition?
I'll make a deal with you. Give me £50,000 in cash in 7 years' time, and when the 7 years are up, I'll go along with you willingly.
£50,000.
£50,000.
7 years' time?
7 years' time.
Oh, well, very well, Mr. Cassidy. It's a deal.
And I want good, solid cash. Now, none of your checkbooks for me.
No sooner said than done.
Oh, my goodness. Careful now, careful. They're rolling under the table. Oh, the beauties, the darlings. What a pretty sight they make.
7 years, Mr. Cassidy. 7 years to the day. I'll be back, Mr. Cassidy. I'll be back.
Delightful party indeed.
Sure, and why not? Don't everybody say that Pat Cassidy gives the finest parties in all Ireland?
True
that. Sure, and over there there's a duke, and there's a baron, and there's three duchesses in the garden. Butler, bring another dozen cases of champagne. Open up another barrel of caviar. Sure, and is it not the grand party? Did you ever see the like? Laugh and be merry, everybody. For sure, who knows if there'll ever be another?
So, gentlemen, that's how it was. Old Nicholas Brimstone left me a beautiful, shining fortune of £50,000 in hard cash. And in 3 months' time, I was the most popular man in all Ireland. In 6 months' time, I was associating with kings. And a year later, I hadn't a penny to my name. Sure, and I blew through that tremendous fortune like you'd go through an old paper bag. At the end of the year, me and the old girl had to go back to the blacksmith shop. And I took the pound and horseshoes again for a crust of bread and a bit of bacon. And one day, I was standing there in my shop, when all of a sudden...
Good afternoon, Mr. Cassidy.
Oh, my, but you gave me a start. Sure, it's a nasty habit you have, Nick, of popping in out of nowhere like that. But anyway, good day to you. And what brings you to these parts?
7 years, Mr. Cassidy. The 7 years are up.
Ah, sure, and you do speak in riddles. Explain yourself, Nick. And, by the way... I just like to bring it up, but that smell of burning sulfur is worse than ever. Is there nothing you can do for it?
Mr. Cassidy, we made a bargain. £50,000 in 7 years' time. Today is the end of the seventh year. Your time is up, Mr. Cassidy.
Oh, sure, it's a devilish memory you have. Very well then, Nick. Since you insist on the pleasure of my company, I'll go along with you. I'll just go into the house first and say goodbye to the old woman. And by the way, Nick, I hate to leave a job of work undone. Here's this horseshoe, only half finished. Pick up the hammer now and straighten it out while I'm gone. Go on, Nick, be a good fella. Give it a whack.
All right, Mr. Cassidy. Since you go with me so willingly, I'll help you with the shoe. Is this right, Mr. Cassidy?
Aha, that's it, Dick. Just hammer away at it. Keep a hammering.
Mr. Cassidy, Oh, Mr. Cassidy, where are you?
Well. It's the fine job you're doing, Nick.
Ah, so you're here at last. Where have you been the last few months?
On a little tour of the country, Nick. Sure, and I've always maintained a man should travel before he gets too old to enjoy it.
Oh, have mercy on me, Pat.
Sure, and you're a mighty workman, Nick. The anvil's half worn through. Why don't you put the hammer down?
Have pity on an old devil, Pat. If you keep me at it much longer, it'll be the death of me.
Well, no, Nick, I'm not a hard man. I'm willing to listen to reason.
Tell me what you want, Pat, quickly.
The same deal over again. Another 7 years and another £50,000.
Oh, done, Pat, done. Only let me drop the hammer.
Very well, then, Nick. I'll take away the charm. You may stop your hammering. Now leave the money on the floor. I'll be off with you before I set you to work again. I gave the devil the bad end of a good bargain. And I took my cash and I went to Dublin. And I bought a fine house. And again I gave me great and glorious party. Oh, what a time we had. And sure enough, the same thing happened all over again. I went through my £50,000 in one stupendous bust. And at the end of the year, I hadn't a shilling left to my name. And I had to give the fine house to my creditors. And me and the old girl went back to the blacksmith shop. And one fine day, I was standing by the forge, wishing for a bit of something solid to put in my stomach. And all of a sudden...
Good day to you, Pat.
Well, if it isn't the old Nick himself. Come back for another bit of hammering, have you?
Indeed, I have not. I have come for you, Mr. Cassidy. Your 7 years are up and you will not trick me with that hammer again. Come, come now, get ready. This time it's my turn, Mr. Cassidy.
Aye, Nick. I guess you've got me right enough. I'll just go into the house and say goodbye to the old
man. Oh, no, Mr. Cassidy, I don't trust you. I'll not let you out of my sight again.
Oh, sure, Nick, and how could you suspect a poor, decent man like myself? However, since it's the distressful nature you have, why then come along with me and see for yourself. Katie, you remember Mr. Brimstone? Him with the peculiar order?
Sure, and I do. How are you, Mr. Brimstone?
I'll just be a minute now, Nick, packing up my thing, but while I'm about it, make yourself comfortable. Sit down in the grand rocking chair there, Nick.
All right. But you be quick. I've no time to waste.
Is it not the lovely chair itself, Nick? Did you ever in all your life sit in anything more comfortable? What is it, Nick? Sure, you've got the funny look itself on your face. What's bothering you, Nicholas, old friend?
I don't seem to be able to get up out of the chair.
Is it the truth you're telling me, Mr. Brimstone? Surely that's a queer thing altogether, isn't it?
Oh, you've tricked me again, Mr. Cassidy. You haven't played fair with me.
Ah, those are unkind words, Nick. Sure and all I did was ask you to sit down. Is it my fault if you can't get up again? Katie, eat up those tongs in the fireplace.
All right, Patty, darling.
Tongs? What are you going to do, Mr. Cassidy?
Nicholas, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to change the shape of your features for you. Sure, and it's your nose in particular that bothers me most.
No.
The dear thing isn't long enough, Nick. I'm going to give it a bit of stretching for you.
Oh, no, please, Pat. Don't do anything rash. Leave my nose alone. I like the shape of it as it is.
Ah, but I'm going to teach you a real lesson, Nick. Sure, and I'm going to make a rare beauty of you. I'll give you a nose, Nick, and what a nose.
Here they are, Pat. Nice and rosy red.
Ah, good and hot, are they, Kate? Ah, that's it. Give them here. You're going to thank me for this, Nick. Now then. Oh, it's a fine kind of voice you have, Nick. And it's a beautiful nose you're getting. Sure, and the darling thing stretches like a piece of soft wax.
Oh, you're a fine fellow, Pat. And you will have your little joke, too.
You know, it just occurred to me what a fine weathercock it would make. Kate? Get up on the roof there and grab hold of the tongs.
All right, Pat.
Faith, and I'm going to stretch your nose up the chimney, Nick, and put the darling thing out in the open air where all the neighbors can admire it. And there won't be one of them but will agree that it's the finest weathercock in all Ireland.
Oh, now, Pat. It's very decent of you to go to all this trouble, Pat. But really, I preferred it a few sizes smaller.
Are you up there, Kate?
I'm here, Pat.
Now get a good hold on the tongs. All right, now. Oh, that's fine. Sure, and if you could only see your beautiful nose, Nick, sticking up in the air as noble as a flagpole. Hey, Patty, put this old derby hat on top of it and tell me which way the wind is blowing.
Oh, Pat, have mercy, Pat. What do you want of me?
The same thing, Mr. Brimstone. £50,000 in another 7 years.
Done, Pat, done. And there's your money. Now, let me out of here.
Very well, Nick. I give you leave to get up out of the chair. Look at him run away. Faithen, he's always in a hurry, that one. Sure, and I thought he might stay for a cup of tea.
So, gentlemen, that's how it was. I got me another 7 years of grace and another £50,000. And by this time, I was such an expert at going through a fortune that in 10 months' time, me and the old lady had spent the whole thing and hadn't a halfpenny left to split between us. So, we had to go back to the dirty old shop again. Ah, but I didn't regret it, gentlemen. No, not one bit. There was only one thing that bothered me, though. That was old Nick. I figured this time he'd be bound to get his revenge. And I wondered what fine scheme he and his devils were cooking up down there in the regions below.
Fine. That's fine. Keep the fires good and hot. This time I hope to have more success with our friend, Pat Cassidy.
You've got to trick him, Chief. Why don't you disguise yourself? Eh? You'll be bound to fall for that, and then you'll catch him.
I wonder. He's a very clever man. And a very wicked one.
The thing that interests him most is money, Chief.
Yes?
Think of something that has to do with money.
Say, that's a good idea. I'll disguise myself as a half crown and lay down on the table right in front of him. And then when he picks me up and puts me in his pocket, I'll leap out and say, Patrick Cassidy, come with me.
That's wonderful, Chief. He's bound to. You'll get him sure this
and
time.
And remember, I want more coal put on the fires. Uh-huh. I want it especially hot here when I get back. Yes, sir. I'm planning a very warm welcome for our friend, Mr. Cassidy.
Katie, dear. Come over here to your Patrick.
What is it you want now, Pat?
Shh. Not too loud, my pretty. Closer. As a good wife.
And what's got into you now?
Shh. Look there on the table. Ethan has every resemblance to a half crown.
Glory be, it is indeed. A real solid half crown.
Now, I ask you, what would a half crown be doing in this house? I don't like the look of it.
You can be sure it can't be none of your doing. For if you knew there was an extra half...
Stand real still there, Katie, like a good girl, and be quiet. Now, I'll just be walking over that way. Like this. Sort of gazing round the room. And I'll be taking my purse out of my pocket all of a sudden. Like this. Here's my purse of gold. Ha-ha, I got it.
Ho-ho. You're no sooner do you put the half crown in your purse than it begins to bounce around like the devil himself had got into it.
Yes, and I think he has. Oh, there. Is that you who's got into me purse, Nick?
Oh, yes, Pat, it is. Let me out like a good fellow, won't you?
Sure, and I'd like to do that little thing for you, Nick. But this is a very peculiar purse. There's a charm on it. And once the thing goes in, it's very difficult to get it out again.
But all you have to do is to pull the purse string, Pat. Just pull the string and let me out.
Oh, so you can pop out and drag me off down below? Sure, and wouldn't I be the big bull to do that? Oh, no, Mr. Brimstone. Now you've caught yourself good and proper, and I'm going to warm your bones for you.
Pat, what are you going to do?
Sure, and you'll find out soon enough, Nick, old boy. To tell you the truth, I'm a wee bit disappointed in the way you come sneaking up on me in the shape of a coin. It's downright unfriendly of you, Nick. So I'm just going to give your ribs a bit of squeeze with a hammer.
Oh, now spare me, Pat, spare me. Remember, I'm an old man. I'll give you another £50,000 in another 7 years. Only let me go.
Oh, no. I got you for fair this time, Nick. And I mean to give you something to remember me by. There, you old dog. Oh. How do you like that?
Oh.
Is the right way. There, you see.
Hey, I'll double it, Pat. $100,000. No, anything, Pat, anything. Just ease up with the hammer and let me go.
Do you hear that, Katie? What do you say? Shall we let him out?
Not till he lets you out of your end of the bargain, Pat. No more 7 years. Tell him you'll not go with him at all. And triple the amount.
Do you hear that, Nick? Do you hear what my wife says? Triple the amount and let me out of the bargain. If that's agreeable to you, why then leave the cash and be off with you and never show your ugly face in this neighborhood again.
Agreed, Pat, agreed. Anything at all, only let me out. All I want is to get back home where I can find some peace and quiet.
Very well, then. Out you come. But leave the cash. And now, scat!
And that's the way it was. Nick left the money and ran off. And I never saw him again from that day to this. So I took the great fortune and became a fine gentleman. And I hobnobbed with dukes and kings and led the wonderful life indeed. Until finally, I became an old, old man.
And what happened then?
What happened? Then I died. Yes, gentlemen, I died. I went to sleep and never woke up again.
Who knocks at the golden gates of heaven?
I'd like to come in.
Have you any references?
Yes. I'm a good friend of St. Patrick's.
We'll see about that. Oh, Patrick, here's one who claims to be a friend of yours.
Don't you remember me, your reverence? Sure, and I'm poor old Patrick Cassidy. Him you gave three wishes to?
Yes, you rascal. I remember you very well. But you're on the wrong floor, Mr. Cassidy. You have to go downstairs, Mr. Cassidy. Downstairs. Take the elevator. It goes right to the base.
Yes, yes, yes. What do you want?
I want to come in.
What's your name?
Patrick Cassidy.
Cassidy? Cassidy, he said. Quick. Quick, someone keep me here. Cassidy? Patrick Cassidy? No, no, don't let him in. Put up the chains, bar the doors, fasten the windows, nail down the shutters. Keep him out, keep him out. My bones still ache from the last time he got hold of me.
And so, gentlemen, that's how it was. I couldn't get into heaven, and I couldn't get into hell. That's why you see me wandering around on such a bitter cold night. And that's how I come to be here. Right here in Orion's Bar and Cafe under the Brooklyn Bridge. Would any of you gentlemen care to set me up again?
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop has brought you Basil Heater's Cassidy and the Devil with Walter Kinsella as Cassidy and Arthur Fenton as the Devil, Nicholas Brimstone. The production was directed by Guy Della Chaffa. The score for tonight's workshop was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Other members of the cast included Kenneth Delmar as St. Patrick, Jeanette Nolan as Kate, Whitford Kane as the bartender, Jeffrey Bryan as the gatekeeper of heaven, and Ted DeCorsia as the devil's assistant. Next Sunday night only, the Columbia Workshop time will be given over to a special gala concert in connection with the inaugural of President Franklin D. Roosevelt for his third term. Some of the nation's outstanding actors and musicians will participate. The next workshop production, 2 weeks from tonight, will be called This Is From David. The original story was written by Merida Lesueur, and the adaptation has been made by Jacques Fink and Draper Lewis. Harry Clark speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.